This podcast is sponsored by Great White Hot Sauce. It's a small batch, handmade hot sauce made specially for you. So if you like hot sauce, you'll love Great White Hot Sauce. It's the hot sauce that bites back. Find it at www.trygreatwhite.com. Sometimes in the podcast world, you do crossover shows. You get to go on somebody's podcast and they get to go on yours. Well, this is a first for this show. On this episode, we're going to have the host of True Hauntings and Scary Stories podcast. And she's going to give us some rock and roll ghost stories. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. I guess you could call it a ghost in the machine. Oh, that's bad.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
The KOFB studio presents Milk Crates and Turntables, a music discussion podcast hosted by Scott McLean with his co-host, Jack Calabrese. Now, let's talk music. Enjoy the show.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction as usual, Amanda. This is, well, you know the name of the podcast. My name is, it was mentioned in the intro. And let you know right now that we are streaming live over Facebook and YouTube. If you like the show, share it, comment on it, give it a like, send it to your friends, tell your family, tell everybody. So tonight we have an interesting show. We have a host from another podcast. Her name is Cynthia Sear, and the podcast is True Hauntings and Scary Stories, which I appeared on last week, so I am returning the favor. And I owe her three more plugs from my podcast because Jack forced me to tell one of the stories that I told on her podcast. And I'm not bringing Jack on to defend himself yet. It was all Jack's fault. I should have just referred to the podcast, but I gave in to his unnecessary peer pressure and I told one of the stories. So I told Cynthia I will repay her and plug her show five more times. So I guess that's, I have four more times. Well, if you count, that's three times. So, all right, first of all, let me bring on my co-host, the man whose father used to put his face in the window at Halloween to scare the little kids, Jack Calabrese.
Hey, hi, Scotty.
What's up, Pumpkinhead?
How are you?
Good. Interesting show tonight.
Pumpkinhead?
Well, really? Your dad put your face in the window to scare kids at Halloween.
Jerk-o-lantern.
Jerk-o-lantern, yeah. Not jack-o-lantern, jerk-o-lantern.
How are you tonight?
I'm good, man. We got an interesting show.
A special guest. How about that? Look at us.
Yeah, we're only our second guest.
We're moving up in the world. So there's three of us on the podcast tonight. So we're only outweighing our audience by one.
Yeah. So people come in, they come out. It's all about the reviews anyways.
Yeah.
You know,
how's your week? How you doing? How are things?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. You know, life is good. Can't complain. How about you?
Had an interesting music weekend.
Ah, do tell.
So on Saturday night in the town or the city of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, this new jazz club that I've made reference to a couple of times called Jimmy's Jazz. And I went Saturday night to see a guy by the name of Bill Frisell. Bill Frisell is a jazz kind of legend, impresario, guitar player, played with Ginger Baker. And in this place, you know, you have to understand that Portsmouth is a fairly affluent area. And the jazz club is not immune to that particular audience. So the audience was a lot of old, affluent white people for the most part. So I went to see the Bill Frisell Trio, and I was probably the youngest person in the audience.
How many are in that band? How many band members are there?
In the trio? You did go to Winthrop High School, didn't you?
Just thought I'd catch you on that one.
I was the youngest person in that audience, probably by a good stretch. Sunday night, I went to the Boston Garden to a sold-out Billie Eilish concert, where I was probably by far the oldest guy there, not working at a concession.
I want Billie Eilish.
She was actually really good.
Yeah, whatever.
Who
am I to knock her? I'm sure she was. She's
20.
She's a very talented young girl.
Yeah, 22,000 people at the Boston Garden. I think there was 21,199 16-year-old girls and one pasty white 56-year-old flabby.
Were you wearing that hat?
I was not. I was wearing a different hat that looked good. Something like this.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Yeah, my music weekend consisted of, I don't know, listening to David Bowie, Young Americans, again. I just love that album, man.
Did that show.
I know, but like I told you, it's one of my favorite albums of all time. So anyways, David Bowie's dead, so we can segue that way into this. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest who's going to tell us some rock and roll ghost stories.
Ah, this is exciting.
Cynthia Should I lower the Sarah, the host of True Hauntings and Scary Stories podcast. Go listen to it. It's a good podcast. She's very good. And I'm saying this before she comes on. She's very good. It's a good podcast. So let's bring her on. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Hi.
How you doing?
Thank you guys for having me so much.
Yes. Yes. Now, as I said on your podcast, I'll say it on my live stream / podcast. I have to really think about saying your last name, because if I said it the way I usually talk, it'd be Cynthia Sear. And people are going to say, what? What is Cynthia Sear?
There you
make a conscious effort for that. So you Cynthia brought us, Sear. Tell us about your podcast and all about you.
Well, my pen name is Cynthia Sear.
Ah,
okay. So no, my real name. I mean, my name is
Mysterious Woman. Mysterious Women are cool.
Yeah. So I did publish a book. It's behind me somewhere. There it is. Parade of Nightmares. Right. It is a book of 8 short stories, and each one features of nightmares. So like clowns and tight spaces and heights and needles and all spiders, all those fun things. And I just took those phobias and twisted them as much as I could. It is not kid-friendly.
I have an alter ego that comes out once a year. His name is Ebola the Clown. I'll have to send you the episode. I do another live stream and I'll send you that video of Ebola the Clown. He only comes out once a year, but he's not a good clown.
Can I ask a question? Like what got you interested in kind of this area? Is this something that started when you were a kid?
Or
you know, did you have an incident, or like what inspired you to explore the area that you're exploring?
Yeah. So True Hauntings and Scary Stories is my podcast, and it came about because I have so many true ghost stories of my own, experiences that happened to me, because my grandparents' house in St. Augustine, Florida, where I grew up,
is extremely
haunted. It's the most haunted place I've ever been still to this day. And I practically grew up there.
The town or their house?
Both.
Known to be very haunted, but
I love St. Augustine. We go up there on the 4th of July. We go up there late. I love St. Augustine, and it does have a good history of ghosts and pirates. Oh, yeah. And yeah. Pirates.
So my grandparents' house was built in 1876. So there's a lot of history there. And one little boy we think was starved to death on the third floor of the house. And that house is jumping. It is haunted. So yeah, that I had so many stories and I love to talk about it. It's my just seemed natural to make a blog about. So I made the blog and then that took off. And then my followers encouraged me to write a book because I do write fictional horror. So that's where Parade of Nightmares came from. And then after I made the book, then my followers were saying, you should podcast. And I thought, no, my voice is dumb. But then
we all say that.
I don't think your voice is dumb.
Jack's voice is
even
dumb.
Even though Scott says that we all say that your voice is dumb, I don't think
Jack's voice is dumb. Oh, okay. Jack has a dumb voice.
So I did it.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? I mean, first and foremost, yeah. Is your grandparents' house still your grandparents' house? Is it still in the family in some way, shape, or form?
It is currently. My grandfather passed in my nanny. My grandmother passed away in January 21. So she's been gone recently. A year
she's,
now.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. And so when she passed, it went to my uncle. And I don't know what he's going to do with it yet. There was talk of making it into a bed and breakfast, like a haunted bed and breakfast, because it's a really big three-story Victorian Gothic style house. And so it could be that. But I don't know if the house is in disrepair. It needs maintenance and repair. So I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. We'll see.
Is it in the downtown area or the outs?
Almost. Downtown? Yeah. It's right across the street from what would be considered downtown St. Augustine. US 1. Yeah, I don't know I if you know US 1 in St. Augustine, but it's like right on that border.
I keep trying to get Jack to bring him and his wife down there for the 4th of July.
Maybe.
It's fun. It's the
so you guys are the reason traffic is terrible hometown.
No, you know where I actually, and I know this is a musical, where we actually stay is right upstairs. We do an Airbnb right above Pizzali's, the pizza place.
Oh, okay.
We're like right upstairs. They have an Airbnb. It's a great spot. Yeah.
Okay.
So we park our car for the weekend. That's it.
If you ever want to stay in a haunted bed and breakfast, my husband and I stayed in the St. Francis Inn, which is downtown St. Augustine.
Well, and my wife's Filipina, so the ghost thing, she's all into it. No, she's all into that. So.
Okay. Well, the St. Francis Inn, ask for Lily's room.
Okay. I'll tell her.
So Cynthia, I mean, so, you know, you talk about your grandparents' house being haunted. Can you share, you know, how old were you when you first had, is it an interaction, an experience? Like, did you actually have experiences where you saw, felt, heard, you know, something like, you know, give us a little background. I think this is really fascinating.
Okay. So my first memory, I think I was six-ish, six or seven. I don't know, somewhere in there. My grandparents' house, the room is very, very large. It spans the whole length and almost the whole width of the house. And it has two stairways that come up the sides and then a big grand stairway that goes up to the second floor. Well, the house in disrepair when they bought it, so they were fixing it up. So my grandpa boarded off the second floor. So I used to climb those big stairs all the way to the top where those boards were and then hide there, you know, like hide and seek. And I did that one time and I was laying on that top step thinking, haha, nobody's going to find me here. And I suddenly was aware of someone on the other side of the wood on the second floor. And I don't know how as a kid, I thought, oh, somebody's there. And I was trying to look through the crack to see who it was. And I could feel cool air coming from that. Now, my grandparents, it has no central heat and air, or at least it certainly didn't back then. And it's broken now. It still doesn't. And it's story house. That, wow. I mean, it's not cold in that house. Like, yeah. It's wow. an oven in the summer, which is always in Florida. So I just was feeling that cool air come through the crack, like a refrigerator was over there. And I just felt like someone was there. It's my first memory of something paranormal, I guess.
Did it like in the moment, were you curious by it? Did it scare you? Or do you know, do you remember how you felt?
I remember wanting to see who it was through the crack, and I never could see anybody.
You're the perfect last girl. You know what the last girl is?
I don't know what that means.
I'm guessing I die in movies.
In
know.
Horror movies, it's always the last girl. That's what they call her, the last girl. Jamie Lee Curtis was the last girl. Nice. Yeah, so the last girl is always the last one killed in the horror movie because they don't care. They want to investigate.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't investigate the third floor without somebody with me. I wasn't that dumb.
Well, so, Cindy, do you have like siblings or anything? Like, did anybody else in your family have they had like similar experiences in that house?
Dude, everybody in my family has their own story. At least one. Yeah. That house is hopping.
It's cool in that like your family in a way kind of embraces it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, maybe friendly spirits, you know, you guys are cohabitating to a certain extent or whatnot. There's no fear. You're not avoiding the house. As a matter of fact, you know, you're hoping that your uncle is actually going to take the next step to bring it to a point where you can actually share it with other people that have a common interest.
Yeah.
Cynthia, if I could get my wife, and it's a 50-50, she lived in, her house was haunted in the Philippines. It's like a whole different type of, seems like a whole different, there was a lot of activity in that house. Nice. And you might be interested in talking to her. I don't know if she would do a podcast. I think I could get her too, because yours seems to be the perfect platform for it.
Yes.
So if you want, I will talk to her and see if she'll talk to you about her. It's pretty interesting stuff.
I'm into it, man.
Yeah, we're talking
into it.
So, and by the way, as and one of the commenters, when I did your podcast, people started coming out of coming out from behind the wooden wall and telling me, oh, I have a story. So, you know, if you want, I could send them your way and you can filter out the madness. So listen, without further ado, do you have some rock and roll ghost stories for us?
So right. I did some research. And I came up with three, and I have a fourth one, but it's just a small little bonus one in case we don't have enough. But I have three really good ones, but you're going to hear my notebook.
That's fine. It's,
you know,
I listen to Jack's guitar every once in a while. It's just as good.
Did you know that Johnny Cash and June Carter bought a house in Jamaica that was extremely haunted?
Ah, do tell.
They did. Called Cinnamon Hill. Now, you know, the house has a name like that. Cinnamon Hill.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
Yeah. On yeah.
It. So that's what they called it. 1734. And Johnny Cash used to tell people openly that it was haunted. He thought it was really neat. He said they were good spirits. They didn't hurt anybody. What you should know is that Cinnamon Hill used to be a sugar plantation, and the slaves that were on it were mistreated. And there's actually dungeons, like a dungeon in the bottom of that house that they would put the slaves in when they misbehaved, and they would punish them, you know, however they did that. So a lot of stuff happened in that house that maybe was not great, but he mainly said that there was a woman in a white flow would walk through his house. And at one point, him and several of his guests saw this woman. She walked right through front of them, walked into the kitchen, and then walked right through a locked door without opening it. She just disappeared into the door.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I find it. I find it interesting that, you know, they would buy a house like that. You would imagine that, that, you know, with, you know, dungeons or the remnants of dungeons that, that are in there, that, you know, the house would have kind of a bad energy to it, right?
But yeah. It didn't, though.
Maybe if you look at it a different way.
Well, he said, I did kind of talk about that. He said that they didn't give him a bad vibe and they didn't bother him, and that him and June had no problem living there. They just didn't get a bad feeling from it.
Well, yeah. That's what I was about to say, is that, you know, maybe they looked at it a little bit differently and they wanted to introduce a little bit of light into that particular situation.
I don't think that. I mean, oh, we're going to light up this ghost house. I think they just went there.
I don't mean it was light. Haunted. I don't mean light, dipshit.
I don't mean, what do you mean light? Like, yeah, they're going to bring good energy, positive energy, right? Is that what you're saying?
Send in the good.
Yeah,
vibes.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That yeah, that's what I meant by we're going to bring some light into this house, not electricity.
Okay.
You guys are so entertaining. I can't say.
Yeah.
This house is open to the public. You can actually tour it. Still have a lot of Johnny and June's items in that house still. Work boots, and there's like furniture and pillows that June sewed herself, stuff like that. And the rumor is that Johnny Cash actually haunts it now. So he's like one of the spirits now, I guess.
So have people actually reported seeing Johnny in his not white flowing dress, but his black.
Right. Man in black.
Man in black garb. Yeah.
The TV show Ghost Adventures. Now, I don't actually like that show, but they investigated the house at one point and they said that they got an EVP, which is an electric. You record a ghost speaking, but you didn't hear it with your ears, but when you play back the recording, you can hear it on the recording. That's an EVP. So they say that they think they caught one in Johnny's do when they asked him if, I think they asked him if he want, they would play, they wanted to play a song or something, and he said, I do, or something.
So would he, that's kind of interesting. Why would he choose to haunt that particular house when he had plenty of houses here in the United States?
Yeah. They say that he had a special place for that house.
He had a connection.
He really loved it, and he loved the Jamaican people. And when he passed away, Jamaica actually sent a representative of Jamaica to his funeral because they loved him so much there.
You know, Keith Richards has a place in Jamaica. He thought he saw a ghost in his house too. It was actually his reflection in the mirror that kind of threw him off.
I can see that. Johnny actually wrote a song about one of the spirits.
Oh yeah? And what is that song?
It's called, hold on, I gotta find it. The Ballad of Annie Palmer.
She was the plantation owner, right?
She was, well, after I researched, I found out that the whole Annie Palmer thing is fictitious.
Ah, okay.
It's just a legend that they in that area, but he believed it enough that he wrote a song about it. And she was supposed to be a plantation owner who was really vicious and mean. And she had three husbands and she killed them all. And the slaves, and then one day a slave finally murdered her, and now she haunts the place. So he wrote a song about it.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right.
So you had referenced a show where they do kind of ghost hunting and whatnot. But you said you don't care for that. Do you think that they just sensationalize, or
I think that show does. I am a huge fan of the show Ghost Hunters with whole TAPS organization and all that. I'm a fan of theirs. I would love to get them on my show, but I'm a peon, so that'll probably never happen. But
Jack, make some phone calls.
Right? Make it happen. But Ghost Adventures is an investigator type TV show, but it's like the O's who I'm going to laugh so hard if they end up watching this. So there's like these bros who run around the house they're investing in, like, come out and get me. And they like challenge it and yell and stomp. And I just think,
it's
ridiculous.
It's contrived.
Yeah, you know, I get it when, you know, there are certain hosts that have a certain amount of bravado that just blah, 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 blah,
they
blah.
Play up to the camera. Yeah.
It's hard to put up with.
Oh, I get what you, I get where you're going with that.
Nice. Ah. I got it.
Okay. Wait, we got somebody says, OMG, I swear my apartment is haunted. I used the house of the military. My son got up to use the bathroom and saw an apparition of a man passing through the hallway. Yeah, I mean, they're out there. They are definitely out there. No doubt. Yeah. So what else you got?
The building that I work in, so I work in Hampton, New Hampshire. That's, you know, an older part of the country. Mm-hmm. And the building that I work in is an old kind of New England colonial, and then they added it onto it. But back in the 1700s, there was a tavern and brothel.
Nice.
And there was a fire there where a bunch of people had passed. And there, I kid you not, there's at least a half dozen individuals that work there that have had incidents in that part of our building. So much so that our CEO that owns the building and has been part of this organization for 30 years, he will not stay in that building after dark.
That's funny.
I
keep walking around like intentionally at night, like I want to see something.
Yeah.
You know, I want to feel something.
You need to get an app on your phone that allows you to record audio. And it doesn't matter what app, literally any app that will record audio, and just hit record on your smartphone and leave it when you're at work and see if you catch anything.
Ah, cool.
I catch stuff that way all the time. I hit record on my phone every time I go back to my grandparents' house, and I catch every time. And sometimes they're loud.
Wow. All right. So is it that I would hear like voices or clicks or knocks or just odd sounds that seem out of place?
Yeah. Well, it can be, or footsteps. But I catch mostly, but honestly, this stuff kind of happens to me all the time, anywhere I go, not just their house. I've never lived in a house that wasn't haunted. So, and that's not because all the houses were haunted.
You're a magnet.
It's because I'm haunted.
Yeah, you're a magnet. Is that an empath? Is that what they call an empath?
Yes. Yeah.
There you go. Again, you and my wife would have a wonderful conversation.
Nice.
She's all about that. All about that. Absolutely. Yeah. So what else you got for us?
All right. So cash. Next, I have... Oh, this is a fun one. Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne, they are corrupted, but I have to preface this by saying I have to wonder how much of this was just them being coked out of their minds. You know what I mean?
Like, Amongst other things.
Right?
So, Ozzy Osbourne coked out of his mind? How dare you?
I know. I'm sorry.
Slanderous.
It's music, but you know. I mean, comes at a price, I guess.
Yeah. No.
So, Ozzy has been quoted saying before that he thinks that he's just haunted because, you know, stuff happens to him. But also, he's kind of outgoing. And so he does outlandish things that none of us would do. So who knows what causes what? I don't know. But at one point, Salem, in 1973, they recorded that in a studio that was built in the dungeon area. I don't know. It's kind of perfect to me. But so they went into this castle that's supposed to be haunted, and they told them it was haunted. So these were doing boatloads of drugs and alcohol by their own admission during that time. And when they found out the place was haunted, they started relentlessly like pranking each other to the point that one of them Bill Ward started sleeping with a dagger at night because he was so freaked out by the haunted castle. or whatever.
Is it going to stab a ghost?
Right? Exactly. What is that going to do?
He's tripping.
Yeah. No, he really was. So, It was a Welsh castle, by the way. It's called Clearwell Castle. So, at one point, Tony and Ozzy were in the basement setting for a rehearsal. A cloaked figure walk through the area they were in. So they followed it thinking it was to see where this person was. So they followed after it and it walked into the armory. So the castle has an armory room with sticks as weapons on the walk into the armory after this thing. And it's not there. There's no other exit to that room. The room was just empty. So that freaked them out. That was their big ghost experience, where they actually saw an apparition, supposedly. Wow. So that happened. And then at one point, let's see, Ozzy's room that he was staying in, castle caught fire. So the room he was in had a big fire, and he built this big rip-roaring fire, and then he fell asleep and like rolled out of the fireplace and caught the room on fire. Ozzy, his bandmates got him out in time, but his foot was injured. Like he burned his foot somehow, I guess, stomping on it. I don't know what he was doing. Who knows?
He probably was.
Probably.
Don't you run out of the room. No. Try to stomp out the raging fire
right
in your bare feet, Ozzy. There you go.
Yeah. So he literally almost burned the castle down.
Yeah.
But Ozzy wrote a book, and in his book, this is a quote that I thought was, he says, "We weren't so much the lords of darkness as we were of chicken shit when it came to that kind of."
Such an Aussie thing to say.
Yeah.
Pranking each other relentlessly.
So don't he and his son do a show mm-hmm. about like paranormal stuff? I think his son was into all that. He was a ghost hunter or something at one point.
Yeah.
In his rich little life. Right. God bless him. And then I remember seeing something about Ozzy and him and his wife, Sharon, mm-hmm. but watching videos and trying to say if they were fake or if they were real. And I think a lot of them had to do with spirits and stuff like that. So
can you imagine being a spirit and having Ozzy Osbourne walk into the room and be like, "Is there anyone here?" Whatever. Do his accent, but
yeah, that's when the ghost gets the fuck out of Dodge.
Right?
I ain't getting near this guy.
I'm going to hunt Ozzy Osbourne. What a complete fucking waste of time.
Yeah.
You know, a band like Black Sabbath, they have to live up to their name. So, of course, they're recording in a haunted castle.
Absolutely. I'm sure their manager had the idea of doing that.
Right.
It's great for the publicity. Yeah,
if not all of them. You know, I mean, it's interesting that there are a lot of bands, particularly in the 70s, that were interested in the occult. So whether it being Black Sabbath with the themes that they explored in some of their albums and their album covers and their imagery, etc. And then, you know, you even had like Jimmy Page, who bought Aleister Crowley's home
castle
and lived there. You know, I mean, you know, people, they embraced that. They were looking to explore it and to understand it a little bit, particularly back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And the lore back then was all through magazines and newspaper. There was no, you know, you didn't get the main coverage these people get today. So if there was a story leaked to, you know, 16 magazine or even to Rolling Stone, it was huge news. You know, I guess what Jimmy Page was responsible for Robert Plant's son dying was one of these big lures because he worshiped the devil, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, even beyond that, you know, there are people that think that Led Zeppelin was cursed because of Jimmy Page's exploration into the occult. You know, never mind Robert Plant's son's Carrick, I think his name was, his death, but even John Bonham and a few of the other things that had happened to Led Zeppelin were attributed to Jimmy Page and his exploration of the occult. Hmm. It was probably more likely the drugs and the heroin that he was doing in the lifestyle that they were leading, but who knows?
Yeah,
and how much of it was all for promotional purposes also.
Nice.
You know.
Ozzy did say that some of their fans asked them to play at Stonehenge because they wanted to do some kind of ceremony there. And Ozzy, I believe his exact words were, "We told them to fuck off, and they said they were going to curse us." So he says the band was cursed by these people because he told them that they would play at Stonehenge.
do you blame Black Sabbath? I mean. You know, think about that. Black Sabbath live at Stonehenge. It's so Spinal Tap.
Well, that's what Spinal Tap mocked them, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
kind of mocked that. It's just way too goofy, man.
The little Stonehenge that came down from the ceiling.
No.
Spinal Tap. All right. What else you got?
All right. Well, one last fact about Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
There's a person in the band. Let me find who it was. Randy Rhoads.
Randy Rhoads. Yeah. He played with Ozzy when Ozzy was solo. Yeah.
So apparently, at one point in the early 80s, they were messing with a Ouija board. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of people, when they do that, if they don't have a board, they'll just draw the letters and numbers on a piece of paper, and then they'll take a glass and flip it upside down and use that on the paper. So that's what they do for the moment. And the Ouija board told them that Randy was going to die.
Mm. No.
Wow.
And soon. So they broke the glass, they ripped up her and burned it, and they poured salt all over the table that they were doing that on. Damn. And then not too long after that, Randy died in an airplane accident.
Yeah. So, he was the bus. He was in the bus and got hit by the airplane, right? Wasn't it?
He was in the airplane and they were like trying to kind of buzz the tour bus and they clipped it and crashed.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's
Ouija boards. I don't have any interest in that.
You know what I mean? In terms of like, you know, rock and roll hauntings, I'm wondering. So back in the late 60s and early 70s, there was an artist by the name of Harry Nilsson.
Oh.
So Midnight Cowboy, you know, everybody's talking, you know, he had a beautiful voice, did a lot of work with John Lennon and whatnot. He had an apartment in London in the Mayfair section.
Fucking guy.
Where he rented it out to Mama Cass of the Mama and Papas. Mm. And that's actually the apartment where she passed away.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she didn't choke on a ham sandwich.
She did not. She died of cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 1978, same exact apartment. Keith Moon of The Who, struggling with alcohol and addiction and whatnot, was prescribed a medication that was meant to make him ill if he ingested alcohol. And he overdosed on that medication in the very apartment.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, I mean, you talk about, you know, a place that may be haunted by the spirits of rock and roll. You had not one, but two legends, certainly in the 60s. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Mama and the Papas were absolutely huge. And the Who, huge in the late 60s and early 70s, both died in the exact same room.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're pretty freaky, huh?
And Nilsson still lived there. He still lived. It never hurt him.
No, he's dead too.
Yeah, well, he eventually died. Yeah, but he didn't die in that apartment.
I don't know if he died in that apartment or not.
I think we know three rock stars died.
If there's two different spirits in one area who both died there, and so they stay, or do they know about each other?
Yeah, it's a good question.
You know, like, can they tell that there's another energy there? Because I think my nanny and grandpa might still be in my still now.
Well, if we were to believe what was on what we see in movies and what we hear, that, you know, there's these old sanitariums, these old hospitals, mental hospitals, are loaded with spirits, and I can't think that they don't bump into each other. They're all in the spirit world, right?
Right.
From what, and that's as much as
is
we
it
probably
one spirit
know.
World, or do yeah, they have their own? Zone?
Are they in their own private Idaho?
No.
Each ghost is in his own private Idaho.
Yeah.
Its own little world.
I feel bad thinking that my nanny has to occupy the same space as some of those other spirits, because some of those other spirits are not great. So I don't like the idea of her being stuck there. I hope she's not stuck. I hope she's choosing it.
So
is it that well, that's maybe a, that's it,
a, go ahead, Jack.
Scotty. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. All right, I will.
Here we are, two spirits bumping
see,
into
I
each
go
other.
To talk and he starts talking again. See?
Yeah, you know, see? Here we go.
So when you go
when
to
Scott
these,
and I die, we're gonna be doing this.
This fucking guy. I'm going to ghost you after the show, and you'll never hear from me again. I'm going to ghost you. That's it, Jack. You're getting ghosted after the show.
Oh, this is my favorite part, and I'm getting to witness it.
Yeah.
Yes,
the,
yeah.
Oh, lucky
it
you.
It happens all the time.
So I would have to think that you see these people that can communicate with the spirit world, and and actually, a friend of mine told me a story that had to do with my brother that passed away, and he went with his sister, and the lady didn't know that she was bringing him with her. So the girl was going to see this lady. She tells her brother, "Come with me." Now the lady that she's going to see doesn't know that he's coming. They get there together, and they want to talk to their mother, and at one point, the lady stops and says, there's someone here that's very loud and very pushy that wants to come through. No, well, my brother, so it's genetic. Thanks for making fun of my dead brother, Jack.
I wasn't making fun of your dead brother. I was making fun of you, you asshole.
It's all right for the world to hear. See, I'm not the bad guy here. I am Jack.
See, the way you spin things,
that's not right. He's a nice bad guy. Anyways,
that is not right in any way, shape, or form. I'm lodging a
podcast complaint.
A podcast complaint to the Godcast to cast judgment upon that.
I'm not editing that out either. I don't edit anything.
How dare you?
So I would think that if they see people coming through and they're pushing other spirits out of the way to get through, that they must be some sort of, yeah, I don't know, connection.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think she's there because on the day of her funeral, we were at a church, and then we went back to their house afterward. And again, I always turn my phone on to record. So this was something I always did. And the only voice I caught recording said, "I'm okay. Don't forget about me." And that was on the day of my nanny's funeral.
So if we were to ask you, and I'm not asking you to do this, but if we were to mm-hmm. ask you to pull up your phone and to actually play us that recording, would we be able to hear that?
Not that particular one, only because you need headphones for that one. There was a lot of people in the house, and they were talking.
Subtle and faint in the background.
Yeah, that one was
something like
a
that.
Whisper, a faint whisper. So, but I have others that you could hear without headphones. Yes.
So do you think that, you know, your grandmother returning to that house is much like, you know, Johnny Cash returning to the place in Jamaica, that they're, you know, it's just a special place to them? You know, if they're kind of, and I don't know if this is right or not, that they're caught between, you know, this world and the afterlife, and they're still kind of they're floating around here, that they have the opportunity to go to a place where they're comfortable.
Maybe. My nanny and grandpa loved that house. They loved it. They bought it condemned and repaired it and fixed it up, and it was beautiful. And now it's fallen on disrepair again. So I feel like if they were gonna stick around anywhere, it would be there. For sure.
Do you think that you have an interest in maybe grabbing that house at some point? I mean, it seems like you have a very special connection to it.
You tried?
I did try. I would need to have investors to do that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
The house is very expensive. Yeah. And I couldn't find investors because the house is in such disrepair that not only would they have to help me buy it, but they'd also have to
renovate it.
Help me. And it was... god awful. So
yeah, land in St. Augustine alone, right around downtown, is really expensive now.
Maybe Scott and I can leverage the massive power that is our sponsors on this show.
Well, yeah, my wife and I actually are looking to eventually maybe buy property in St. Augustine.
Oh, so. Yeah? I got a great place for you.
You know, Cynthia, if there is somebody in your family that is interested in a couple of bottles of hot sauce, we can make a tremendous deal for them. You know, a spicy deal. Sure.
Great White. It's the hot sauce that bites back.
Nice. I like it. I'm pretty sure that hot sauce would kill me. I have gut problems.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll do you in.
I think that would kill me.
So what else you got for us?
Okay. So the last one is a recording studio. Now, this rock star's story, because this recording studio is so haunted that every rock star that records there has their own experience.
Ooh, really?
The studio is called The Mansion in the Hollywood Hills area of California, of course. And it's actually not a recording studio any longer because a film is his home. But I found that to be interesting because the maker is Mark Romanek, and he makes music videos too. So I think that's kind of why he bought it. But yeah, this place was built in 1918. It burnt down, and then they rebuilt it in the 50s. And let's see, let me see. So the stories behind it are that a teenage boy was pushed to his death from a 30-foot balcony of the mansion. So he's said to haunt it. And then, okay, so Houdini, like the magician Houdini.
Harry Houdini.
He actually lived in the guest house. He didn't live in the main house, but he for a while. And he used to practice his escape tricks, water escape tricks, in the pool of this mansion, right? So his wife was really into the spirit world and all that. So she would hold seances in the main house to try and communicate with whatever spirit. So they talk about his wife. No, it wasn't
every year. Didn't she have a seance every year to try to get in touch with him?
I think so.
Yeah.
So she did. Literally. What I read was that she was doing seances. So she did that in this recording.
Every
house.
Year on his birthday, she would have a seance.
Oh, really?
Try to get in touch with him. Yeah.
I'm just not brave enough to do seances because I'm so sensitive to that stuff. That, no, something would get me. It would not be good. I just don't want to go there.
It's like jumping out of a plane. Why?
Anyway.
Why?
I go to movies and I see a ghost. I go to my friend's house and I see a ghost. I don't need seances to find those things.
I don't need one attached to me. Although I do have Jack.
Stay over there.
Yeah.
Also, there's tunnels underneath that house. Like prohibition tunnels.
Those are never good. Those are never good.
Wealthy people in the 20s and whatever, 20s and 30s, they would have tunnels put under their house so they could get alcohol secretly.
Speakeasies. Yeah, speakeasies.
Right, but
in
their home. Like, that's a lot of money.
Nothing good happens in a tunnel after 12.
So here's all the different bands that had incidents happen. So System of a Down, their publicist saw a woman in a white flowing dress.
They're always in white.
Walk down the stairs, pause, and walk back up again. She said that the dress flowed as if wind was blowing, but no wind was happening in the house.
The ghosts, they're
listen,
always
if I'm
in
back.
There's always a white woman. It's always a white lady. In the Philippines, well,
not only a white lady, but it's always a long flowing gown, right? Mm-hmm. You know, ghosts don't wear yoga pants or, you know. So, you know, it's always something elaborate that is going to actually take up the wind.
Jack, right? Excuse me for a second, Jack. Mark Smith, watching on YouTube, commented, I think of a seance as the same as opening the store doors early on Black Friday. You don't know what the hell will come in. That's a good way to put it. You don't know what's coming through that door.
Bravo, Mark Smith.
That's a good one. Stay away from those. So System of a Down, they saw the white lady, which the white lady in the Philippines is an infamous ghost. I mean, that she's everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm ever a ghost. I wonder what I'll come back looking like. I don't know. I might be in stay-at-home mom mode, so my hair will be all...
There you go. That's a good one. That's a good one.
On my shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, there you
go. Pick up your socks, you know.
Yeah, not a real threatening ghost. Nah, not a real threatening looking ghost.
I did tell my husband. So years ago, I told my husband that I was going to leave pennies like everywhere. That's how he would know that I was around. But then he started pissing me off. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to flick pennies at your forehead. That's how your ass is going to know I'm here. Boom, right in the forehead. There you go.
So where does he land on all of this stuff? Is he a believer? Has he had the opportunity to
at all? Yeah.
So is this a an interesting kind of like not bone of contention, but you guys have interesting dialogue in terms of I just won't buy it.
Yeah, he just won't talk about it usually. And we've been married we're coming up on our 24th wedding anniversary.
And so has he told you that, look, this exploration is just leading you nowhere. Now look at you. Now you're on a podcast with those two morons.
Really,
this is what I warned you about.
This is what I warned you about. Exactly.
You are now scraping the bottle of the proverbial barrel.
The bottom of the barrel. Yeah. Yeah.
No, he actually has had a couple of incidents happen to him, and he will say, yes, I can't explain that. But he will not cross that line into, that might have been paranormal. He won't go there.
Well, you have to understand that. That has nothing to do with kind of acquiescing to the paranormal. It's more about you being able to say, I told you. I told you. I told you.
Did you just say acquiescing?
He did.
He did.
What? Good Lord.
What's wrong?
Can I'm you just sorry. Use the normal you, word for acquiescing?
Did you not want me to use language on our podcast?
He can't understand you.
This isn't like you're not talking to, Ivy Leaguers out here.
Oh, wait, you're right. You're right. I should play to our audience. Hi, everybody. It's me, Jack. How are you today?
You do that anyways.
I don't. I have respect for our audience. I know that they expect more of us.
No, Jack, I'm just acquiescing to you. That's all. That's all I was doing. That's all I was doing. So when you go to do your podcast, you're like, honey, I'm going to do my, my True Hauntings and Scary Stories podcast. He goes, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he
does? Sure.
Whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Doesn't really.
Have you ever been to Salem, Mass?
No, it's on my bucket list. I have a paranormal bucket list.
It's a fun place. I look at it this way. It is St. Augustine's geared toward witches, ghouls, and goblins. Mm-hmm. And I tell people that, like, if you go to St. Augustine, it is so campy, it's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, the tours and the Ripley's Believe It or Not and the Fountain of Youth. And that's Salem just in witches and ghosts. Mm-hmm. They have a great cemetery, though. I actually have pictures of orbs in that cemetery.
I've got good news for you, Cynthia. Whenever it is that you decide that you want to come up this way and explore Salem, in Salem, when you get downtown, there is the famous witch house. It's all flat black.
Yeah.
And then there's a church. And in the middle, there's a gray house.
Oh.
Some of my very, very best friends live in that gray house, and it's an Airbnb, and they would love
to
put you up for a weekend. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. I would totally do that.
What about that gray house right next to the graveyard? The one that's pretty much like the side of its house is the graveyard. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, sure.
That's as creepy as fuck, that house. They don't go out of their way to fix it up. It's just a creepy looking house.
Do you know the difference between a cemetery and a graveyard?
No.
The difference between a cemetery and a graveyard is that a graveyard is attached to a church. It is the yard of the church. So it's a graveyard. And a cemetery does not have a church. It's just a cemetery where people are buried.
Check out the brain on Cynthia.
Right?
Look at that.
I know things. They're dumb things that nobody needs to know, but this is a dumb show, so it works.
So, Cynthia, just let me test, you know, since you're sharing knowledge with us, I'm curious about something. So, you know, you have kids and you raise kids. When your kids were younger, when you made them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, how did you construct it?
Oh, here we go.
Do you put the bread, the peanut butter on one slice and the jelly on the other, or do you put the peanut butter and then the jelly on top of the peanut butter?
No, what? No.
Oh, yeah, get off my seat. Off.
See?
That's crazy.
See, people. Cynthia's like,
peanut butter on one bread, on the other.
No.
Can you imagine?
See, I suppose you cut corner to corner, too.
He and I have had this argument for a number of years. He makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich where he puts the peanut butter and jelly on one slice of bread. The other bread lays there naked. I just don't, you know, he's got to be haunted by somebody. Somebody's got to teach him.
And I cut it the proper way, north to south, not corner to corner.
No.
For dipping purposes, geometry states dipping purposes, it's an equal share of each side. When you have corner to corner, when you dip it in the glass, that wide angle hits the glass and only allows a certain portion of the sandwich, because I dip my sandwiches
now,
in milk. I dip everything in milk.
Bologna sandwiches.
I dip it in milk. I am a professional dipper.
Cynthia, can you believe it? Have you ever met a 67-year-old man that dips his sandwiches?
Get out of you. Oh, when I see you in person. Oh.
Scott, he is the only one in his old age home that cuts his sandwiches north to south like that.
It's the normal way to cut a sandwich. Richie Rock, as I call him, I lived in a funeral home in college. I saw things.
Why did you do that?
Richard's a very interesting person. Let me just say that. Very interesting person. Maybe I can get you, if I'll listen to some of his stories, you know, they're probably really weird. You might be interested. I'm just going to send them all your way. Good luck. I'm opening the seance gates. Yes. I'm going to let them all, I'm just going to send them all your way.
Cynthia, I have to tell you, and I don't know how well you can actually see it, but, you know, typically when we do this podcast, we may get a couple of comments, you know, here and there. Most of them are idiotic.
Oh, so look at you. What was that word you used earlier?
Acquiescence.
Yeah, you're not acquiescing to the audience, though. So you just acquiesced the audience. How do you do that?
You didn't let me finish my comment. Let me finish my comment. The comments are coming in tonight, very well thought, cogent, thoughtful. And it amazes me how many people that are listening, the four or five people that are listening right now, probably more like four, maybe three, that are commenting.
That's the spirit, Jack.
Oh, God. Nice. There are a lot of people that are saying that they've had some similar experiences. So this is something that is really widespread. I mean, I think it's pretty amazing that there are so many people that have had some type of encounter, some type of incident that has stayed with them.
They're out there because it's true. The shit is there, man. I lived in a haunted house. I know for firsthand.
So are ghosts able to be captured on film? So, I mean, if you think about, I think one of the things that kind of interests me right now is that you probably have a billion people a day that are taking pictures and uploading them into the internet in one way or form, right? So whether it's Facebook or Instagram or some other platform or whatnot, it's interesting to me that although people are having these experiences, that we're not seeing more documentation from people that have their phones, or maybe there are and I'm just not seeing them. Would you comment on that?
I mean, I have a photo of the outside of my grandparents' house, the windows, you can clearly see one face in particular that's very detailed and not, but then possibly more. And then I have lots of EVPs that I've caught of voices in their house. And I recorded those. So I trust those. I know that those are not fake. That's my proof. And I know it's real. I get where other people might look at those and say, I don't know, in podcast, maybe she knows how to alter audio or something.
Oh, there's always disbelievers. Yeah. Always, so always.
I think part of the issue is that people just don't trust it that much.
So you have Mulders, and then you have Scullies, right? Mulder sees it. Scully always tries to shit on it.
Jeez. So do you think that is there any theory behind the fact that those people that are non-believers, you know, because they have that attitude, you know, that they don't believe, that they're not exposed to it as much?
I think there's certainly people who are not open. I am very, that's why I have stuff happen to me so often like I do. But I think that if you don't want to deal with it, then you ignore it maybe. Maybe it's a subconscious thing. I don't know.
If you're hypersensitive to it, though, do you think there's certain things that maybe you just kind of wanted it to be what it was?
Well, of course, you always have to approach everything with a good, healthy dose of skepticism.
Right.
So I try not to be that person that's like, did you hear that? It's a ghost, you know? Try not to be that person. Ruled all the things out that seem logical to me. Then I'm not above saying, like, I don't know.
What about orbs?
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with that, because all the orb pictures out there, my own opinion, now this is like a really debated hot topic in the paranormal world.
Yeah.
I orbs very much because it's cameras nowadays are so good, and I just think it's too much of a chance that it could be simple dust or whatever.
So orbs are usually white, correct? Usually white.
Have like a translucent center. Right. Sometimes people say they see faces in them.
Well, I'm going to send you a
video. Scott doesn't like a translucent center. He likes a chocolate center.
Yes, I
that
do.
That is delicious.
Jack knows me well. Thank you, Cynthia.
So, Scott,
trying to be funny.
I have a scenario question for you.
Well, I was. Okay. I'm going to be Jack. Excuse me, Cynthia. Can I finish my story, Jack?
You may. You may. It was fascinating. I'm on the edge of my seat.
So,
just keep going. Make it count.
Okay, it's relative to my first wife dying of breast cancer. So you want to make a joke? Since you joked on my brother, you do this all the time. You want to joke about? She's mortified. She's like, oh god, you just said that.
You pull that card all the time. If Scott feels he's backed into a corner, he pulls out this tragedy to make me look like an asshole. Like, I need his help.
I don't need the tragedy. Anyways, in all honesty, so my daughter, my first wife, unfortunately passed away from breast cancer in 2011. And my daughter, in like 2012, 2013, we had my granddaughter, who I think at the time was four. I think she was four. Well, my daughter had taken, she was videos on her phone. She was videotaping her or whatever, recording her. And she noticed something that went by kind of really quick. And she sent it to me. She said, look at this. And I looked at it and I slowed it down. And it's a pink orb, very slow. And you could see it go right by her face, like right across the camera. Now, I've seen white orbs. I've seen orange orbs in pictures. I'd never seen a pink one, and it's ironic that she passed away from breast cancer. But I'll send it to you. I'll let you know, do an analysis on it. Because your professional opinion, your expert opinion, you tell me what it was.
Yeah.
You know? And I, you know, it just seemed too ironic that it was pink.
I'm not saying they're all bogus. I think there are some that are legit, but I think that there's so many that's not.
Jack and I are into photography, and we know that trick of the light can cause, you know, certain things to happen on a picture. Orbs, sunlight, you know, coming through a tree can cause an orb. But then you see some of these ones, you're like, that's a little odd. A little odd. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So Jack, now I'm done with my tragedy story. You can pick up from there. Pick up from there, Jack.
Yeah, the moment is past. I'm not feeling it anymore. I do have a different question for you. Okay. This is a completely hypothetical but possibly real situation, and I'll direct it at you, Scott. Cynthia and I are at a cocktail party.
Okay.
We're not there together.
Is there jazz playing, Jack? Is there jazz in the
could
background?
There could be jazz or some light.
Hate jazz, by the way.
There could be some light techno playing or some soft chamber music.
Some Harry Chapin, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Harry Chapin. Okay, maybe.
Go on. I just need to be in the moment.
But we're at this party independently, and people come up to Cynthia and they ask her what she does for a living. And she tells them that she's into ghosts and podcasts and ghosting and all of that. And some people come up to me and they ask me what I do for a living. And I tell them that I'm in the insurance industry. Who do people run away from faster?
You, my friend, you are the enemy, my friend. You are the enemy. Yes. So what was the bonus little story that you might've had?
Wait, I see that somebody commented about succubus, and I have something about that for this mansion recording studio.
Jack, by the way, you succubus.
That's a good one, Scott. Thank you. Why don't you go lay down? You must be tired after that one. Idiot. You are an idiot.
Oh, my goodness. What's
the show?
Okay, so the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Chili Pepper.
Hey, I'll tell you that the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they succubus. They do.
So
we finally agree tonight. We finally agree.
They had different things that happened, but one of them that I thought was hilarious is that their guitarist, John
Frusciante.
Yes, that one. He said that there was a certain room in this recording studio mansion that had a sexual vibe to it, and it really got him going. And he says that he would often hear a woman sounding like she was in the throes of, you know,
orgasm. I'll say
coming from that room that he was in there. So he said that whenever he went into that room, it would give him such sexual urges measure himself in that.
And they had to bring in the
and somebody said maybe the hazmat team
had to come in after that recording session.
Right. Yeah,
I wonder if that was before or after he shot up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
John Frusciante or Frusciante or however the hell you pronounce his name is an incredibly talented guitar player, but he is a tortured soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? He may be, you know, a lot of tortured souls are really very, very sensitive. And he may be sensitive to the things that are presenting themselves in those places. So that's
an incubus.
You know, look, the reality of it is, whether it's real or not, it was real to him. And that's really the important thing.
Is it really that important?
Did you say incubus or succubus?
Incubus. Isn't that a mischievous ghost?
Isn't that a spirit? Band?
Yeah, but I think incubus is a mischievous spirit. Yeah.
I don't remember. I know a succubus is like a female spirit or demon or something that comes and attacks you in your sleep, and they can sometimes sexually assault you, supposedly.
And all this time I thought it was my
wife.
Wait a minute.
A succubus will sexually attack you?
Oh, Jack. Easy now. So what else? Any other any stories from...
So the bonus one. Let me grab the bonus one.
Okay, hold on. Excuse me. Incubus, an evil spirit supposed to descend upon and have sexual intercourse with women as they sleep. That's an incubus.
All right. So it's
funny. I have a slightly different description of it. An incubus is a demon in male form who, according to mythological and legendary tradition, lies upon sleeping women in order to engage in sexual activity. Is that an incubus or a Cosby?
No, you didn't.
I did. I had to.
A Cosbius.
I love it.
An evil spirit is a demon, Jack. Same thing.
Yeah, but this
oh,
one,
no,
this
no,
one
no, just, no, 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 no. Cynthia, so do you have another story, Cynthia? You have another story for us, Cynthia?
This one specifically says male form.
Your Google's wrong. Wrong.
It's it not
my Google's right.
Maybe an incubus is the male version and a succubus is the female version.
Oh, you know there's a
joke there. As I was coming out of my mouth, I realized that was...
Let me just read this. An incubus is a demon in male form who, according to mythological and legendary traditions, lies upon sleeping women in order to engage in sexual activity with them. Its female counterpart is a succubus.
Salacious tales
of incubi and succubi have been told for many centuries in traditional societies.
She just said that. You just said that, right, Cynthia?
I was just reading.
No. But Jack has to be.
Oh, goodness.
Whatever.
I said it's an evil
spirit supposed to descend upon and have sexual intercourse with women. You just take this long, drawn out, detailed.
I didn't take it. I just read what was on the thing there.
Who named them? Because incubus succubus is the female one. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's like, well, they're spot on. Unless it's a gay incubus, and then it's well, it's nothing wrong with that.
What about a ghost
can be gay too. There's nothing wrong.
What about a haunted podcast co-host, an assholiubus? Also known as...
Oh, you really dug deep for that one. That definitely gets a... Oh, you dug way too deep for that one. Dug way too... You might as well just go live in that hole, buddy. Bonus story.
Okay, so it's very, very short. All I have to say is that I found out that a Radiohead music video, the one for the song, he accidentally caught what they think is a female ghost video in the music video.
What video was it?
It says All I Need.
What's the video? What's the song?
All I need.
Oh, okay. Okay. And they catch a female voice.
Yeah,
they
were recording. It was like a studio setting and they were singing, and off in the distance you can see a door with a window in it, and a woman walks past the window, and they said that door was an emergency exit and there was nobody in that area.
Ah.
So that couldn't have been there.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Radiohead. I don't know.
Yeah. It's totally feasible. I can use big words too, Jack. I can use big words. Feasible.
What was the big word you used?
Feasible.
Yeah, that's a huge word.
Feasible. Acquiescing. Feasibility. Incubus. Succubus. See? I got them all.
No, that description is if Phil Kelly likes it. Feasible.
Oh, a Phil Kelly mention. Oh, he'll be glad to hear that one. So, listen, we're over an hour and it's past Jack's bedtime. Nappy needs his nappy tea before he goes to sleep at night. Jackie needs nappy tea. I had a long day today. No. Cynthia, you have no idea how many times he's like, oh, and you're lucky, Jack. I'm not doing it on this day in music. You're lucky.
Giving you a break. Talk about being haunted by bullshit.
Oh my gosh.
Very pertinent to the show.
Elvis
people like that segment.
On this day, Elvis Presley made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with the peanut butter and jelly on the same side.
See, if Elvis does it, then what's wrong with that?
He did not do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Never had that. I don't understand how people eat peanut butter and apple. Like, I don't.
What? Oh, you know what?
Cheese. Isn't it cheese and peanut butter too or something like that? I don't know.
No, I have something that will spook both of you guys. I have a friend that loves peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Oh God!
I love both. Yeah. I love both.
Have you tried them together? Scott?
I just might have to do that. Since I do have perfect cholesterol, both good and bad. So I am genetically blessed. My blood work is always perfect. My wife is amazed. I can eat anything. Jack, that's your setup. You see, he's tired. He needs his nappy tea to go to bed. 15 minutes ago, he would have been all over that one.
Wait, no. Way, way too easy.
Oh, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
way too easy.
Cynthia, I have a funny feeling. Something tells me that you're going to be on this show again.
Oh, yeah?
You're a lot of fun. You have some interesting stuff. And, yeah, I have a funny feeling. You might be a regular from time to time on this show, if you don't mind.
I'm down with it.
Anything to give me a break from this guy.
Wow.
This guy. Let me see. If
you don't mind wasting your time hearing about a bunch of bullshit and not getting paid, this is the perfect venue for you to haunt.
I have a podcast and I don't get paid, so I'm used to it.
Hey, do you have, for people that might want to get in touch with you, like my buddy Richie Rock, who says he's not an empath and I am stable and I have been with a succubus. So he might have some interesting stories. Or other people, is there a way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah. I have a website, truehauntings.com.
Truehauntings.com.
Yep. You can email me at cynthia@truehauntings.
Okay.
And then, of course, our group, which is a load of fun. We just really share silly memes and tell ghost stories. And it's just.
It is enjoyable. You know what? I always say this. I think I mentioned this to you. But you seem to have this one well under control, because 99.9% of Facebook groups turn into garbage pails in like 6 months. They just turn into trash cans. But yours is pretty entertaining, I gotta
say. I manage the crap out of that group.
Very, and good for you for doing that. Everybody seems nice. I mean, I'm on a food Facebook group. It's food, and people are fighting. It's like I went to a restaurant. I had a burger. It wasn't cooked right. What do you mean it wasn't cooked right? Maybe you didn't eat it right. I'm like, what?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yours seems very pleasant. It's an oasis in a sea of Facebook group garbage.
Cynthia, in the event that we don't run into each other soon, seriously, if you're interested in coming up and exploring sales,
take advantage of it.
My wife and I would love to show you around. We have some interesting people that we can introduce you to. We can provide you a place to stay. It would be fantastic if you actually even maybe broadcast your podcast from Salem.
I would absolutely 100% do that. I think that would be a great episode. That's amazing. Yeah. I would love to do that.
But if Jack's going to be there, I have to be there too then. So I'll have to fly up to.
Oh, sorry, Cindy. Forget it.
Be quiet. I
want
to go to Salem.
All right. I'll sit that one out. All right. What the hell?
You're on your own.
Sacrifice.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So once again, plug your podcast.
True Hauntings and Scary Stories, so named because some episodes are me interviewing lovely people like yourself, and then other episodes are me reading my own fictional short scary stories.
All right. And the name of your book?
Parade of Nightmares.
Parade of Nightmares.
Ta-da.
All right.
Available on Amazon. Can I pick that up tonight?
You could. If you want a signed copy, you can order it off of either my Etsy store, which is True Haunting Shop, or you can go to my website, truehauntings.com.
Well, the cool thing is being the principal person on this podcast, Scott is volunteering to actually get two of them from your site. He's going to mail me one. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you. The check is in the mail, buddy. The check is in the mail.
I've got a special thing right in your book.
I had an album for Jack that was sitting in my collection for like a year or more that I finally sent to him. So if he thinks I'll just Amazon it to your address, Zach, so I don't have to be the middleman.
You can't Amazon it. She won't sign it.
That's right. Well, when she goes to Salem, she'll sign it for you, where I won't be because I can't. Oh, my God.
Cynthia, you know what's going to be cool? You and I are going to be broadcasting from Salem. Scott's going to be, you know, making comments in the section, and we'll just ignore them and we'll laugh.
Jack, I will be an incubus, and you will be my girl. So
yeah. I will be your succubus.
You guys are not a good pair.
I will be your succubus, but Scott, I'd be happy to be your succubus, but not on the first date.
I can't believe.
There you go. Buy the dinner
first. She's getting totally abused by this. She's like, oh, my Lord. So, Cynthia, I owe you three more podcast plugs, which I will be sure to do over the next three episodes. Because Jack...
You don't have to do that.
No, I do. I do. Jack forced me to tell that story that should have been saved for your podcast.
I was listening to that episode, and I was verbally out loud going, no, don't tell it. No, don't tell it. See? Oh, see,
Jack?
Man.
See, Jack? See? See? See, Jack?
I'm a salesman. What do you want?
Where were you when I gave into that.
Where were you when I was selling cars?
All right. Well, listen, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. You people are the engine that makes this machine go. Without you, it would just be me talking to Jack, and that's not always a lot of fun. But we will be back next week. Again, if you like the podcast, give us a rating, give us a comment, pass it on, tell your friends and family, and but just don't tell them about Jack, because then that'll do it. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Dead in the water. Dead on the vine.
This is my last podcast. I don't need this abuse.
I'm ghosting you. I told you I'm ghosting you after this. All right, Cynthia, Jack, stay on. All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you in the horror, whatever. Yeah.